Okay. So welcome to the June 19th use case realization call. And we're going to be talking probably about what's going on in R6. Maybe a short readout of what happened at the developers forum, and also some use cases, starting to look at some use cases for R6. So I heard an email back from Atul Purohit, who was originally going to give a presentation today on the creation of services IoT use case, but apparently in the developers forum, I think there was some scope change that's happening there. So this use case might get changed or removed or something. So I also heard back from Tsukui on mobile service chaining from KDDI, and he said that he had found out that Intel and CMCC were also thinking about very similar use cases, and so he's looking into a joint effort from KDDI.
And then yesterday, Orange presented something what they called service selection or service.
Right, at the architecture. Yeah, yeah.
So I think they are somewhat related in the sense that how do we specify service in general, whether it's hierarchical services, services with different flavor and service selection. Maybe all these should be combined together to say what is a broad way to describe services that meet all the requirements and can support different scenarios.
Right, that's a good point. And there was also a discussion at the architecture subcommittee where that presentation was presented. Does that really need to be something that ONAP takes care of? How much of it is OSS? How much of it is ONAP? I think there's some debate there as well. That's probably a good idea. Although I wouldn't necessarily call that mobile service chaining. It's more like service
selection
maybe, or management or something, or service definition. Yeah, service, service creation type activities, which the thing is that strikes me as something and in his diagrams, and I didn't download his slides yet, but in his diagrams, he does show a lot of design time platform functions though that get involved. So, I totally agree that those are kind of related things. So one thing I kind of wanted to do, one of the things that we do with the release is to start looking at, and the full thing of this is a little early, obviously, but at least we can just start listing some of the use cases. So what I did for R4 was I created a summary of all of the R4 use cases, their impacts across the platform components, and then Michaela helped me with some of the epics and Jiras that were involved. And then we had all of the use cases talking to each other to figure out what interactions there were and who are the main contacts. I was keeping a list of the main contacts. And then I've also been attending the ANAI calls every week, so looking at the ANAI impacts, which I just kind of went over in the ANAI call a few minutes ago before this call. So I think today, obviously we have some time to do this, but I think today I'm just going to write down the known use cases that we're thinking about for R6. So there's definitely.
I want to say one more thing, Ben.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I got an email from Timo from Nokia. I forgot Parala.
Parala, yeah.
Parala, and he and Ericsson presented something for license management during DDF, mm-hmm. and they said, well, this is a good use case. A lot of service providers said that's a good idea, and take it to the 5G use case. So he said, Timo, I'll be more than happy to take it to the 5G team. Sure, whether it should be tied to the 5G or it's a generic use case to say how do we do license That's at least one potential use case. Where
No, I've been in a lot of meetings with Timo in preparation for the DDF presentation. So I'm aware of, in fact, I created one of his slides. So I think something is a, 5G covers so many things that anything can be 5G. It just kind of matters basically which team is doing it, where its first application will be, and where it's first going to get used. So it could certainly be in the 5G use cases. If its first application is in 5G, it's only going to be developed there or used there at first. And we say a lot of things like there are obviously things that start in 5G that eventually move beyond 5G. We've been using this sort of will eventually be used, evolve for use with generic PNFs, and then at which point we can then move it to the generic general PNF support thing. I'm totally okay putting it in 5G if that's how we're going to first use it. I think Ala may of course say, well, that's a generic function, but we can discuss. I mean, it's being led by Ericsson and Nokia together. They're likely to do, some of the development for that. But that's definitely we can add it there and move it. So why don't we just add it in 5G because we have control over that.
And then we can always move it. Yeah. He's on vacation this week. He is available on July 11th. So we'll talk about it tomorrow during 5G use case.
Yeah.
And then we can schedule Timo to come and present on July 11th.
Right. Okay. Okay. Yep. So that's a good one. Let me add that line here. Oh, okay. Okay, thanks, Vimal. So there's pre-onboarding, onboarding, I know, plug and play, I know, PNF software upgrade, bulk PM has some updates, PM dictionary, FM metadata, configuration with netconf. Is still called configuration with netconf. OF and PCI is now called OF and PCI instead of OF and SON enhancements. Okay. network slicing. Maybe we should say end-to-end network slicing. The BBS use case, CCVPN, open source access manager. I'm not sure I see this. I'll need to follow up on this one. SD-WAN over 5G. SD-WAN over 5G. is that one that's still there? I don't see it. So
is that for backhaul? What does that mean, SD-WAN over 5G?
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that exactly
is. Is it maybe 5G over SD-WAN or something? Or
that would make more sense. You know what? Let me see. Maybe it was mentioned in the R4 use cases.
Or could it be the fixed wireless services?
Here it is. SD-WAN over 5G. What exactly is this? So companies are currently investing a lot into 5G, but there's a few use cases how to utilize 5G to create new services and generate revenue to account for this large initial investment. The proposal of SD-WAN over 5G provides a plausible new service using 5G that can produce revenue to justify the business. SD-WAN provides seamless connectivity for multi-cloud environments and connects enterprise networks.
So is this back 5G is backhaul or is it running an SD-WAN?
I think it is more like an enterprise getting a fixed wireless service, the way I read it.
Which is backhaul, basically. Right. Last mile.
No, it's not. So say, for example, if there's an enterprise customer who has an office, but there is no fiber or any other kind of LAN connectivity.
I think we're saying the same thing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So basically, we're saying this is a 5G network, right? Enhanced mobile broadband. These are 5G. One of the three major 5G functions, and it creates a slice in the core for that. And ONAP can basically orchestrate the connectivity between the branch office and the main office using 5G? Is that kind of what I'm seeing here?
Yeah. What you're showing is like a point to point link or point to multipoint link that's serving as a backhaul or
right.
That then also has an analogous part on the other enterprise. So it's a last mile basically.
Right.
And as the gentleman said, it's a fixed wireless. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So 5G is kind of serving as the backhaul.
Yeah, sort of basically. Right. So it truly is SD-WAN over 5G because it's backhaul. You're right.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Okay, so that is not yet proposed in R6, but might be. So maybe we need to follow through on this and find out what's going on there. Mark out in yellow or in a color. I need to pursue. Okay. Distributed analytics as a service. Again, here it is. Okay. So that's still there. Licensing management. I'm not sure who's gonna lead that. I'll put Timo for now. Okay, and let's see. So then there's a lot of platform requirement type stuff. The controller and NF association that I had started the architecture discussion on, and configuration persistency, which right now I'm going to put the PCI team on because they did a lot of work for that. Mm-hmm. Control loops. So,
hi, Ben.
Oh, yes. Oh, hi. There you are. Yeah.
Hi, this is Shankar. So, yeah, configuration persistency. Yeah, you can put my name in. This topic is bubbling up again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have a typo. So, I have one more initial in. NK. Oh.
All right. Yes.
And same for the song also. I saw that, noticed that.
Right. Yeah. Thank so you. I think you've done a lot of work on this and other people may be involved. We'll just put you as the lead for now because of all the work you've done. I see more people join. Let me just catch up here. So, okay. Anushar, I'm not sure that's Anurag, is that, might be Anurag maybe. I don't know who Catalyst Data is, David Perez. Jimmy. Whoops. Okay. And all right. So and, yeah.
And Ben, just a quick comment. I don't want to disturb what you're doing, but at some point, can we talk about the timeline as to what would make sense, which weeks we'll focus on what, and things like that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So one of the first steps is figuring out what the use cases will be. And one of the first things we need to do, one of the first milestones is we need to let which components get a sense of what the PTLs know, which components are impacted for a particular use case, right? this spreadsheet was a quick matrix to give to all the PTLs so they can quickly see, for example, Jimmy's on the, from NANI is on the call. He can quickly look over and see what impacts he's expecting from all these use cases. And that's kind of the idea. But of course we first have to list which use cases are being currently proposed or thought about in R6. So let me just see here. We got scaling, this mobile service chaining thing is new. Chaining and service creation, service selection. Okay, the PNF support use cases were plug and play, software upgrade, configuration with netconf, and pre-onboarding, onboarding. Okay. And then creation of services. I'm going to leave off for now because that was. And then David Camperos is on the call right now. So, David, this is. You, I think the stuff you had planned for R5 is still going to be planned for R6, right? This is going to be.
We have requirements, but still we need to figure out whether we have the resources to implement those in R6. So, mm-hmm. So yes, of course, we have a list of things that we would like to see in ONAP.
So I typed this in for you. Okay. I went to this thing and kind of looked at the slides you had, yes. And I picked out two of the major things I thought. But you can feel free to edit it if you think there's, if you want to list two or three major things that might be happening in R6. Mm-hmm. You weren't there on the call when Ala, when I was on the use case call. She kind of wanted, so I created this table, right? She wanted a sort of, mm-hmm. Here's the use case, here's a short description of it, and here's the links. And I think this was a slide set, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So you probably want to change this into an actual wiki page. I'm pretty certain there's a slide set. So, so what you probably want to do is make a wiki page for this, and you can have the slides, of course, as part of that wiki page. And she was asking, I don't know if you were at the DDF, but she was asking everybody to also create like a business driver sections for all of the use cases. So I think that'll be easier for new people coming on to ONAP, and also for people trying to assess the use cases, like service providers. One of the early activities also that happens early in the release is all of the service providers, even ones we don't hear from much, will look at all these use cases and kind of prioritize them, saying this is super important for me or whatever. So anyway, that's something that you should be aware of. Okay, so the control loop, that's here. Optical service L0, L1 orchestration seems to be a new one here. Okay. Okay, HPA has been going on for quite a while. Runtime security. Okay. And Kubernetes, I know we've had before. DAS. They're ready, and this third-party operational domain manager, I think, is new. Operational domain manager. All right. Okay. Are people aware of any other ones that I might have missed? Vimal brought up the licensing manager one, which is good.
Who is the owner? Who is proposing third-party domain manager?
So let me see. They gave a presentation at Ala's call. Let me look.
Best, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is the person, Nishi. I think it was Nishi that gave the talk at Ala's call, if I remember correctly. So I'll just put them down for now. Telstra, right, okay. All right, any other use cases that we're aware of? All right.
Ben?
Yeah.
A comment. Since especially we have a whole lot of things under 5G, and we're talking about Frankfurt, and there's just a lot of work happening with interaction between ONAP and ORAN, some of it might come to...
I was just going to ask the same question.
Yeah, so some of it might come down to just having some sense that of what interface will be supported. For example, if there's an A1 interface, it's supported out of SDNR. So I don't know if it's a separate use case. And then there is also the whole thing as to what is the model. I think the work that has been happening till now is that if there is a common model that's okay with ORAN and 3GPP, and if it's a NetConf interface, then the NetConf Yang model, we'll just use that model. So in many cases, it's a matter of ONAP aligning with whatever consensus develops.
It's not just the A1 interface. It's also the O1 interface, the right. E2 for data collection. Is there going to be a local light presence of ONAP at the edge, or for meeting those low latency requirements, or some other solution for doing the orchestration at the edge? This is a huge gap that needs to be looked at. So I was hoping somebody else would be joining in on that.
Yeah, I've heard of A1O1. I've not heard of E2 coming to ONAP.
E2 and E1 are to the VRAN, those are for the service measurements from the edge, from the ENODs. So it's the telemetry performance information.
But I would not include not E2. Gonna have, no, E2 is not going to have that information, I don't think. O1 is the interface for the for the normal PM counts. Now, there could be some things that are defined, right, in ORAN that are separate that are going to go across the E2. But I think working group 3 in ORAN is defining that stuff, right?
And Mark, well, E2, I don't consider E2 as a management interface. It is more
it is
of
not.
A...
not, right, I agree.
It's not an interface between network element, and that's not something that ONAP is concerned about.
No,
so maybe it wasn't E2. Maybe
ONAP,
right.
needs to be concerned about the O1, and if there are any changes that need to happen as a result of O1 definition, I guess, right, Bimal?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Right. So I would I would say all of this is very, it's a good discussion, and I think it affects A1 and O1. So the larger question is,
Shankar, I would say the A1 and O1 would have impact on, you know, how do we completely satisfy or meet A1 O1 requirement in what time?
Do you think we should have a use case sort of ORAN ONAP harmonization or something? Maybe.
That's the topic I was bringing up.
That's a great idea.
How does
actually.
It fit in the structure?
I think I'm supposed to be the coordinator lead for 3GPP ORAN and ONAP. So maybe you guys can help me. But I think so. We should have one way to say how do we align and meet ORAN's requirement.
I'd be happy to help you with that, Vimal, because that's kind of, that would be very aligned with other things I'm doing.
Yeah, and actually, you know, that's what Marge brings up, I think is a good point, because I've been carrying this topic from week to week in the realization calls, actually a couple of topics related to that, where there's just really all these different standards, not just ORAN, but OpenROTM and ONF and ISOMI and OTCC and ETSI and all these different standards that are just being super collided together, and we're just going to see what falls out, I guess. And I think that would be really smart to put something like
so,
this.
So this is Fred from Verizon. What I've heard is multiple things, but one thing was we're discounting the E2, which is between CU and CU internally. And what about E1? And also, I'd like to throw my hat in the ring on this one. Again, this is Fred Feislin from Verizon. So if you could please make a note of that too.
Yeah. Sure. And Fred, both E1 and E2, as well as F1 and other interfaces that 3GPP define, are, we still consider them as a control plane or network-to-network in service path and not management impacting. So they are not impacting ORAN, ONAP directly.
I was not directly, but I was thinking that somehow maybe the DCAE needs to understand what's going on in the edge and would have to either, I don't know that they would get the raw counts, but there would be some kind of derivatives, aggregated counts or analysis from an NWDAF that gets done, that gets exposed to ONAP core central.
Yeah, and I would say that would be through O1 interface. So
that was my thinking. Okay, all right. Maybe we're aligned.
Yeah, okay. And so I will, Fred, I'll keep you in mind. Mars, thank you. And I'll see what we want to do to as a this coordination activity to keep ONAP community appraised about what's going on in ONAP, ORAN, and what's going on in 3GPP.
And add to that also, you know, the inventory updates that are taking place at the edge and any topology too that needs to be managed centrally or understood centrally or globally.
Right. Okay. Okay. So let me add this new use case here. Is standards harmonization with ONAP, is that an okay title for it? Okay. And maybe a brief description is there are many standards such as ORAN. I guess we can mention the other ones like ISOMI.
How does Acrano play into this also, right? I mean, are you just lumping that in ONAP or
I think we want to make sure, I'd like to bound the scope of this not to be every standard that's out there that might interact with.
Okay. You just want ONAP. It just with ORAN then?
No. I wasn't trying to say that, but I would just, I guess I was going to say that maybe this should be a RAN.
Okay.
A RAN topic. And if we needed to have harmonization in areas outside the RAN, I think that should be a separate topic because otherwise we're getting to be too big and we can't.
Okay.
I agree.
So just like 3GPP and ETSI and ORAN, is that?
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay.
If I could just introduce a thought into that, please. The reason why we're pushing the control and intelligence to the edge or the MAC is for latency considerations, and the RAN certainly is part of that, but isn't it feasible that there are transport or front or at least backhaul considerations that also have real-time or near real-time aspects that we should consider as well? Do we want to really discount it that quickly? And the reason why I was asking about a CRANO is because, I mean, that's part of ONAP now, and I think that fits into this MEC picture. So are we really doing harmonization, or are we doing like an evaluation and then harmonization?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have any problem. I guess we can explore this a little further. I guess what I was trying to avoid was getting things like other kinds of network elements that might have might also have standards bodies impacting them that we would, you know, we would get ourselves spread too thin, like any kind
optical
of baseband kind of thing. I was trying to avoid a listing of every standard that might
sure.
be out there.
That makes
but
sense.
Okay. Yeah, but yeah, what you're bringing up is reasonable.
Is important. Okay. So let me add that to the list here.
Oh, can I just comment on what Fred said?
Yeah, sure.
It is certainly important because the industry trend is going towards an edge solution and a CRANO and things like that. I think we should find a way to make sure we capture what Fred is trying to say. It may not be. It's not only a standards harmonization thing. It might be something to do with how. Because there is an edge automation group also somewhere in ORAN, ONAP, right? Mm-hmm. So it's some kind of it's an architecture intersection of.
Ramki and Simi are leading that. Yeah.
Right. So Fred, you should be aware that is also happening. So some of this is sort of an architectural issues as to what makes sense and how we orchestrate, and some of it has to do with specifically how do you stay harmonized with ORAN?
I guess in my mind, I was thinking more of the architecture first than the standardization, harmonization second.
Well, but at the same time, things are just moving along so quickly. If I don't think we have the luxury to say we will figure out what makes sense for ONAP by that time, people are already making, for example, the fact that the interface from ONAP to all of this is A1 and O1. People have sort of converged to something like that, and yes, it could be different kinds of edge architectures, but it will still fit into these two interfaces. I think people are sort of generally going towards that kind of consensus, and so I'm just thinking a lot.
But if we just stop for a minute and look at it from an architectural perspective, if we have some kind of an orchestrator, whether it's an ONAP orchestrator at the edge or some other orchestrator, and we have this A01 interface, is it going from the SO to a VNF C in the edge, or is it a new interface from an SO to an SO that's at the edge?
Right.
I mean, those are the kind of questions I'm trying to understand solutions to.
That's exactly why I wanted to respond to what you said. Those are very important issues. But I think you'll find that doesn't make any difference to the ORAN alignment kind of issue. Because ORAN will say, okay, you do whatever you want. We are communicating using A1 and O1. If you want two SOs, one SO, how you do the controllers, that becomes that becomes a different ONAP discussion. We are just separating the two, I guess.
Right.
Okay, great. Let me just create some base pages for these so that I don't get lost in the mix here. Oops. All right, let's see. So I'm just looking for 5G use cases here. Let me add a link for licensing management. And we're okay with RAN standards harmonization with ONAP. Is that an okay title? All right. Not hearing a no, so.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, it, and we can.
All right.
Is it RAN or RAN MAC?
If you want to make it broad, we can make it mobility standardization with ONAP. That way, it includes both RAN and core. But I think most of the discussions are about radios. So RAN is also just fine.
Sure. Yeah. Let's call it mobility. That's fine. Sounds good to me. All right.
So that would include the mobile edge cloud. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we probably also need to present this at Allah's call as well, new use cases, however they may show up. Oops. Copy, not edit probably, okay.
Ben, if I may, just comment about our process. I mean, if everything is a use case, I don't have a strong position either way, but usually use case means someone's, a group of people is going to do some work and have some kind of realization, some kind of, usually they'll submit some code and you'll have one, it'll explain how ONAP can be used for some particular objective. Yeah, but some of these things are similar activities where a team of people will figure something out, but it'll probably not have, output deliverable will be some kind of an architectural understanding or recommended practice or something like that. So, but we are just calling everything use cases.
Well, licensing management for sure. We'll have an actual development team working on with an end-to-end actual thing happening. The maybe the standards you're saying might not have an actual output that you can point to? Is that what you're kind of implying?
Yeah, maybe. But if it's only one, that's okay. We don't want to create a new process for that. But everything that's a use case will...
Yeah, I mean, if you look, I think the service modeling has a lot of new models and stuff. OF, you're doing that one. Configuration stuff is maybe a little bit more analysis, but there's a ton of stuff, work associated with, right? The actual platform evolution stuff. The performance measurements, of course, has PM stuff emitting from a PNF, as is FM. Network slicing, of course, is a humongous topic. Licensing management, I feel, does have an actual set of licenses and things that you interfaces and terms and files and certificates and stuff that surrounds it. Of course, the mobility RAN standards, I think, a lot of that is infrastructural and it impacts a whole bunch of other things in ONAP.
Yeah.
And it may be more kind of documentation, but it can potentially impact like things like VEST specifications and things like that. It makes sense, I think, to have that as a use case as there's likely to be an actual team of people meeting regularly and discussing and hashing through it.
Oh, that I agree. They're all work items in some sense. But at some point, there'll be some process of prioritizing which ones are important. And usually people will say, because they keep in mind, the amount of work needed, amount of testing needed. And so some of these things, at that point, I assume somebody will say, this can proceed because there's no testing impact, and then people are coming out with.
Yeah, and that's exactly the reason why I think Ala wanted us to put business drivers in the ears, because people who aren't necessarily familiar with the guts of the use case, this is really a short, high level thing to describe kind of how important this use case is, right? So while a use case, you know, may not have a lot of visibility, it may have a humongous amount of business impact or cost savings, and that's kind of where you can describe that, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'm fine keeping it in this list as long as the term use case is a little broader.
Yeah.
It's just we are just using it as a way of organizing work.
And it is kind of maybe a little different than some of the other use cases, but I think it feels like it's a reasonable use case to have.
Sure, yeah.
Should I put Vimal and Marge here? I don't know who I need to put, like, principal context.
So you can definitely put me, Marge, and Fred as well. Anybody else want to join?
Okay, good. Let me just... Okay. All right. Great. So now we have at least a initial list of use cases that we can start thinking about. And again, one of the earliest milestones, of course, is you have to understand the component platform impacts. This assessment was the component impacts in R4. So of course, these impacts may change as we move into R6. So we should probably take note of that. Okay. All right, so I'll attach this spreadsheet to the end of the to the supported documents for today's call, and people can take a look at it and provide feedback, and we can update it that way as well. All right, and Shankar brought up a good point. Let's take a look at the timeline for R6. Let me see, I think it's here. So it's June 19 now. And El Alto has started. I know I've been onto a couple of calls, platform calls, and there are already assessing basically what is going to happen in R5, and what are the Jira backlog items that people are working. And in theory, we're already into R6's early planning, and M0, working towards M0. So part of that, of course, is understanding what use cases are going to be in the release. So that means that the use case page has to be pretty accurate with the actual use cases we expect in the release, and a good description of what they are, and then understanding what impacts will be in the use case and how it impacts the platform components. If we take a look at the release planning checklist here for M0, and there's a release calendar for R5 right now. Let me see. It's a little fuzzy here, but I think so I think that we're in the week of June 17 now, so R5 is going through gather requirements, gathering input from different components and planning, basically. But simultaneously with that, the expectation is that we're also taking a look at R6, right? So yeah. Frankfurt's M0. And if you look at what happens in M0, or we're looking at letting the TSC know who's going to be working on these projects and what new projects there are. New projects need to fill out this project proposal template, and we just identified a couple on this call itself. So we need to fill this stuff out. Let me see. Project present. Okay, so maybe we should actually just copy this.
Are projects and use cases the same thing?
No, the projects are like SO is a project, control is a project.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I thought that I don't think we have a new project, right?
These are just new. Okay, so. So all new use case, let me think. We haven't had a new project like that for a while, right? Or not a major one.
At the DSC has to approve any new project.
Right. New project meaning like SO or
controller or
a new controller, yeah. VFC or SDNC or SDNR. Okay. So all use cases and discuss with different projects, which is what we're kind of doing now, right? Use case tracking template, use case functional requirements. So let's see, what is this? Use case tracking template. Oh yeah, okay, this is the more typical thing that I see with use cases. So there's a use case name, all the projects that could be impacted and how they're impacted, high level testing flow and things. Okay, so so probably the most important thing now is the couple new use cases like licensing management and the harmonization. We probably need to fill out something like this or add something like this to the to those pages. Integration team liaison. Okay. So why don't we just do that? Let's see. Ability and I think I'll put this in here. Put a link to it in here. And this new use case here, let me copy its thing here. Right, and maybe we just want a simple development status thing here. Okay. I know the test cases are also something that needs to be filled out by M1. Just gonna put this here. Yes.
What document had the Frankfurt dates on it? I couldn't find it on the wiki easily. You had some cadence.
Oh yeah. If you go to, If you go to today's notes, I'll put it in the chat.
Okay.
Once this updates. If you go to today's notes chat here, Vimal, to get Fred Fuselin's email, you can just, you should be able to just search for Fred.
Yeah, I think I can find it, yeah.
Yeah, and if you...
It's just fred.fuselin@verizon.com. Sorry, I've been on and off the call.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, if you just search, you should be able to find us. Oops, I had it. Okay, anyway. So Shankar, if you go to that link that I just put in the mm-hmm. In the chat, this and you go to the agenda discussion items, it's this link here with the Cadence proposal here. You see it? And if you click on that, that's the page I was at. Okay. So let's see. Yeah, it can be hard to find stuff in the wiki because there's so much stuff all over the place. So let me just put this test case here because I think that's also something we need to, all use cases kind of have. All right. So the first major date is, I think, September or something. I mean, it's quite a ways out there, but let me see here. The first date for M1 is longer than usual, so September 5th. But like I was just on a call with Jimmy and ANAI PTL lead, you know, a lot of the platform teams are sucked in doing the R5 stuff. So even though it's a longer lead time, you probably have less bandwidth from the PTLs to look at R6 stuff. You have to bear that in mind as well as you're working the use cases. Okay. So one of the main things I just wanted to accomplish today was to start this spreadsheet, which describes the use cases that we're aware of in R6. Are there different leads that we should put for some of these? Do we know, for example, Marge, I don't know if she's still on the call, like maybe instead of Linda, should we put Marge here?
For which?
For the PM dictionary and FM metadata stuff. We had Linda there.
I definitely should be me for at least the FM metadata. I can talk to Linda and let you know about PM, I think.
Okay. All right. Configuration.conf, I think it's still going to be Oscar, Shankar for San, and then network slicing, Borislav, David Perez, and maybe we should put Tim Curry. I don't know if David is still on the call. He might have dropped. Yeah. Let's see, CCVPN, DAS, Timo for licensing. I think there's somebody from Ericsson should also be on this too. I'm just not sure who.
If you want, I can give the name who also.
Yeah.
Whose name is on the presentation. Yeah. Just hold on 1 second.
Okay. I know there should be two people. I'm not sure who the other one is. I've been leading the controller and NF association architecture discussions, at least, although somebody else is likely to actually lead that later on.
So sorry, Ben, the presentation has proposal from Ericsson and Nokia. It doesn't have the name of the individual.
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly who the person from Ericsson is. I can also hunt around a little bit, but let's see. Pamela, obviously, from Control Loops. Change Management, AJ, Alex, or for HPA, Scott, for scaling. Those are all definitely still going to be the case. Mobile service chaining. Who is the person again? That's Tetsuo Yuki. Let me just look at the, it's in the page history here. Let me see. Takashi Usui. I think that's right. Yes. Okay. And then optical service L0, L1 orchestration. Mm. Let me see here. Member name. Orange, AT&T, Jitsu. Okay, I'm not sure who, or Vimal, do you know who, do any of these names ring a bell for this?
Which is this?
This is the optical, multi-domain optical network services.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. I'm going to first start with this person, Raghavan Subramanian. Okay. All right. Runtime security. Proof of concept for runtime security functions, including secure communications outside entities, secure communication along microservices, and user authentication by tokens. Marge, you think maybe Linda is working this? I don't know. Or maybe Srinivasan?
I'm not sure. I think we should ask her. I don't think we should put her name there without.
Yeah, we don't know. Okay, all right. All right, we're at the top of the hour. So again, I'll add this to the
Again, I think Ericsson's person name is Samuli Kusela. Does that sound right?
That does sound right.
Oh, how is it spelled again?
S-A-M-U-L-I, Samuli. And last name is Kusela, K-U-U-S-E-L-A.
Kusela, okay, yep, great. Okay, thank you everybody for joining. I hope you found this useful, and we're in the start of planning for R6. And I'm sure there'll be a lot more discussion as we move forward to talk about these new use cases.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good day.